This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA, who's getting you closer to the game than ever with exclusive prizes. Enter for your chance to win at MichelobUltra.com/courtside. Enjoy responsibly. 2024 Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri. Michelob Ultra registered courtside sweepstakes. No purchase necessary. Open to U.S. residents 21 and up. Begins October 19th, 2023 and ends June 12th, 2024. Multiple entry periods. See official rules at MichelobUltra.com/rules for free entry, entry deadlines, prices, and details. Message and data rates may apply. Void where prohibited.
This is the Rich Eisen Show. I know I'm
great. Let's just review this. Honestly.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Does he want to stay in Chicago?
Yeah, of course. I feel like the biggest thing with all this, just let me know if I'm getting traded. Let me know if I'm staying.
The Rich Eisen Show.
I get it with Justin Fields feeling that way.
Today's guests, NFL Network analyst Chase Daniel. Senior NBA insider for The Athletic and Stadium, Shyam Charania. Plus, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Terry Bradshaw. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. That's right. Hey, we're here.
Hey.
On another edition of The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, we're here.
The only program that connects more than an Ohtani batting practice. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. All 3 hours of this program is must listen, must see, if I may say so myself. And I do. So thank you for being here on this busy Thursday. We've got a fun guest list. A guy with two first names, Chase Daniel, is going to be joining us. I learned, just like most everyone else, that Chase Daniel had joined NFL Network, which I'm excited about. I appreciate his insights. And he's going to be giving us his insights in about 18 minutes time for a conversation with all of us about the impending combine and everything going else in free agency that's right around the corner in the National Football League. The NBA second half of the season, de facto second half of the season, begins tonight, and most of the league is participating in the return of the NBA from its All-Star break. Shyam Charania will be joining us here on this program. He co-hosts Run It Back on FanDuel TV with our good friend Michelle Beadle. And Chandler Parsons and Lou Williams, and he's obviously the lead insider for The Athletic and Stadium for the NBA. Perfect guest for the second half of the NBA season tipping off. And we reached out for this gentleman as soon as Patrick Mahomes won the Super Bowl. I literally hit up our booking staff on the way to the airport to say, let's try and get somebody who is now only one Super Bowl ring ahead of Patrick Mahomes, at least. You know, there's only three human beings with more Super Bowl rings than Patrick Mahomes right now, and we've got one of them zooming into the program in hour number three, and he's also the only one of the three who's got a show in Branson, Missouri. His name is Terry Bradshaw, hey. And he's joining us on this program in hour number three. So, and you should as well, 844-204-RICH, number to dial, or to see some phone lines lighting up, and that lights me up like I'm E.T. looking for Reese's Pieces. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. What's going on, sir?
Rich, quarterbacks. Charles Haley also has five.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
I got you. Understood.
Got it.
I meant quarterbacks.
Of course. Yeah. I know you did. Just
thank you for correcting
record.
Me. I appreciate
somebody
that.
Somebody was at home, Chris, on Twitter, like, wait a second, Rich Eisen said, you know.
Yeah, I know.
It's, just so everyone understands.
He meant quarterbacks.
The way that I administrate this show and attempt to focus on this program and prepare for this program. You know, we have lots of time preparing for this program, right? and time just, you know,
is a flat circle.
Getting ready for this program. And a lot of us, we sit around and we have conversations that I'm glad aren't leaked out on Twitter.
Oh, buddy.
Okay?
You never know.
Understand.
Jail time for some of y'all.
So as I'm starting this program and administering the start of this program and giving out what I think is crucial information, who's on and things of that nature, I look across the way and my audio executive, Mike Del Tufo, who had nothing but time before the show, waves batteries at me.
That means your
means that the ears that I have in my ears, goodness, which helps me administer this program.
Off he goes.
They might go out. Now, he could have done this
at any point
prior to the program, but watch on Roku, fans, you're going to see he's doing it right now. Thanks, Mike. Good job. Wait till I'm on the air in the first minute of the program to wave batteries in my direction.
Hey, look at these. You need some of these?
Yeah, I might, apparently. Hey, I had no idea.
I got batteries.
So I'm glad we took care of that.
You're good now, Rich.
Oh, gee, thanks. I'm aware. What's up, TJ? How are you?
Well, I mean, Jay Felly would have made sure you had batteries.
Yeah, I mean,
he does.
I'm just saying.
But he was like an A2.
Way to wave him at me.
I'm good.
Yeah, that's all I wanted.
Are your batteries good, TJ?
We're off and running.
I think so. Hey. But I get my own mic, so.
Thankfully, I have an agent to complain to.
What up, Jerry?
About Del Tufo?
No, just in general. About everything. About everything. Agent to the stars. And I bring this up because that is a piece of news that caught my eye today. Mm. 1 week from today, I will be getting ready to sit in a Lucas Oil Stadium booth with Daniel Jeremiah and spend way too much time with him talking about people in spandex running around on the field in front of me. Now, the main event does not happen till Saturday. Okay. That is when one of the more, I believe, talented group of quarterbacks to appear to combine collectively will be on the field. And it's going to be a big day. It's going to be a big day because running backs and wide receivers are in the mix on that day as well. Normally they'll split up some quarterbacks and running backs and wide receivers, and running backs will go one day and wide receivers and quarterbacks will go another. It's just going to be offensive palooza on Saturday. It's going to be a long day. I'm going to have to hydrate. Don't want to pull anything. And of course the question will be, you know, who's throwing, who's not, and things of that nature. That information has not come out yet. Now, normally, if you're the de facto, and everybody believes, first overall pick, you don't throw. Bryce Young didn't throw. Kyler Murray didn't throw back in the day. Joe Burrow didn't throw back in the day. So we're assuming Caleb Williams won't throw. But maybe he will. Because it does appear that he enters the NFL getting ready to bust up every norm that the league has placed forth for anybody that's entering the National Football League. He does appear to have this. Now, he hasn't said it himself. His dad spoke to GQ last September and said things like, hey, you know, maybe he might stick in USC because the draft is kind of counterintuitive for the player. You know how you want to hit the ball far in golf, you swing slow, right? You don't swing hard. Don't swing hard, right? Swing hard, it's going to be a problem.
Easy does it.
Okay. Dad's point, and it's interesting, as he said to GQ, would be better if you go undrafted than if you're drafted first overall. Okay. Now, what do you mean by that? Because if you're undrafted, you could choose the team that you play for. Now then, you also don't get the first overall slotted contract in the NFL. You don't make all that money. But, you know, you're probably going to a team that, what's the word for it? Let me look it up. Sucks. Now, interestingly enough, the Bear, and he thought, like, you know, we'll see how this plays out. He basically told GQ, let's see how this plays out. And I guess it played out well enough for him to not stick at USC. And this makes sense. Because whatever he was making at USC, the NIL, what would you say? I looked it up prior to the show. Just a little shy of $3 million bucks.
It's a lot.
It's more than, you know... It's definitely more than what Reggie Bush lost his Heisman over at the same school.
Yes.
Right? And so let's just call it $3 million. Let's give him $5 million. He'd make more as a rookie quarterback, and he starts a clock at getting his second and third contracts when he's going to be making a gajillion dollars. Or can. So makes sense that he would go into the NFL draft. And I guess he would assume as he goes in the NFL draft, he knew the Bears were going to be the first overall selecting team. And they're not a one win, or they're not a 14 loss team coming in. You know. Now then, why do I bring all this up? Because according to Mike Florio, our friend who was on yesterday, the list from the National Football League Players Association that came out with a list of agents and who they are representing in the draft class, which is of interest. The combine, everything's a metric at the combine. Literally everything's a metric, from an X-ray to an MRI to a report about what you might have once upon a time told a cafeteria worker when you were a seventh grader. You know, literally everything is a metric. A tweet, a post, a photo, everything gets put in. Mm-hmm. And so, who's your agent? Apparently, Caleb Williams doesn't have one. Oof. Does not have one. Does not have a league-certified agent. Now, this could be part of the concept of trying to blow up norms. No agent going in. So does that mean maybe so there's nobody whispering in his ear to say, don't throw at the combine? I hope that's the case, because I want to see him throw at the combine.
Yeah, and I asked you this pre-show. I'm like, look, the way the first round is now in the NFL, it's slotted. He knows how much he's going to make.
Correct.
If he goes first overall, right. Second overall.
Right.
Why pay an agent 1-3% to when you know this is going to happen ahead of time?
Well, I would just say this to that I would want for my kid entering an endeavor like this, if you have the means to slice off 1-2% of a salary, to go and hire somebody who knows the business that you're entering, knows all the politics of what you're entering, and can also have your back when the knives will come out in the political world that you're entering that could somehow, some way, potentially damage your child and his or her ability to succeed to the best, or might need to help you navigate something that's unforeseen, I'd do it. I'd do it. Or who in his world, because I'm sure he's not unadvised. I'm sure there is a group of advisors surrounding his parents, or I imagine are the point people in this. I'd imagine. We're going to learn about it. I'll tell you that. We're going to learn a lot about this. Because everything's parsed, which is another reason why you want to insulate yourself. Everything is parsed. If you might be out there thinking, Rich, you're starting a show talking about an agent and a player's decision to not hire one. Like, yeah, because everything's going to be parsed. Everything is a flag. You just choose the color of the flag that you want it to be. Everything's a flag. And you might be like, he's still going to be first overall. As a matter of fact, Rich, you have said nothing but this guy's first overall, and I want to hear it. My point also would be, let's just say Caleb meets with the Bears and just doesn't vibe with Eberflus, right? Vibing with Eberflus. You almost looked at that. Vibing with Eberflus.
I saw you look down at the list.
I saw that.
I'm vibing with Eberflus. Yeah.
By the way, I see everything. Whether you're looking at lists or waving batteries at me. So, let's just say he doesn't vibe with Eberflus. Let's just say, Chris. Let's say one day your boy Cage.
Oh,
is about to turn four.
Four this weekend.
Oh my goodness gracious!
Going fast.
Pretty much almost matching the first number on the clock when he frequently wakes up for you. So let's just say one day he's in a job interview and he calls you, Sarah, mom, dad, the boss. That, you know, I want the job, but the boss. I kind of think the boss. Wouldn't you try and call around or do anything that you could to try and help if you had that ability, right?
Absolutely.
Let's just say he doesn't vibe with Eberflus. You know, he's sitting there two overall, the hometown team.
Hometown.
What if he wants to try and work his way to Washington? Mm-hmm. What if somehow, some way you did vibe with, just use another one, the entire New York Giants staff? Right? What if you vibe with them? And they're at six. Who's going to call Joe Shane up and go, hey, my kid loved you.
Come get me.
Who's going to do that? See, there are ways that an agent would help, is all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And this one was a head scratcher. Unless he wants to come in and blow up the league, which is another thing that might be a red flag. But again, the eye in the sky doesn't lie and the tape doesn't lie. And I think this kid is first overall stuff. And all I'm saying is that if he does have the sense of wanting to bust up norms, my other piece of advice, this is all unsolicited. You just complete passes, sir. Oh, my goodness. I'm also hearing some names of some people who might not be throwing next week, too. Hasn't been confirmed yet or not. And I'll repeat this over and over and over again between now and by the time I get on a plane for Indianapolis next week, and I'll say it on the air on NFL Network as well. For anybody who's thinking about not throwing, I'm biased. I want you to throw. I want to see you throw. I want to see you compete. I want, obviously, the NFL Network to have the most eyeballs on it. I want to have the best broadcast, and that is having everybody out there breaking a sweat and throwing the football. Even if it's just like once every 3 minutes to a guy you've never thrown to before, it does not matter. They just want to see you throw and compete. That is it. What, do you think Caleb Williams is not going to be first overall because he airmailed someone? And I understand the pushback is, what do you think, he won't be first overall just because he threw? I get it. But for others who might not throw, C.J. Stroud, arguably or potentially inarguably, best rookie quarterback in the history of the National Football League.
Ooh.
You could make this case. Whoa. We can have an argument.
Whoa.
We can have an argument. You could make a case. Metrics, gumption, guts, style, results. You could make this case. I know what, Marino made it to a Super Bowl, or, you know, did he make it a Super Bowl his rookie season or something like that?
Wasn't it year two?
I don't know. I guess I should have my facts buttoned up if I'm going to make such a statement. But you could make this argument.
Nobody checks those, Rich.
Please. I just need content anyway.
Nah, Dan Marino's second year.
All right, so best, you can make the metric best rookie quarterback ever. He threw at the combine. Not only did he throw at the combine, he just, eyes popped out of heads at the combine. And he came out of the combine, the conversation being he could and should be number one overall. So the Panthers didn't listen.
Cam Newton would enter the conversation.
You could make the case. That's all I'm pointing out. Stroud threw. And he didn't just throw. He spun it. He was dynamite. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the program. We've got a ton of stuff to discuss, including college football playoff committee votes to have a 5+7 in the 12-team format that's coming up next year, right? 5+7 means, you know, the top five, I guess, power five conference winners, or power four now in Notre Dame, right? Essentially what it is. Gets the top five seeds, and then there's the seven at-large bids. Now, it looks like they're saying, you know what? Let's just do 14 teams while we're at it.
They talked about it.
We'll discuss that on this program.
Rich, I think Ben Roethlisberger's on the line. He wants to talk about this rookie quarterback.
I got it.
Thing.
No. Hey, brother. I remember him. I remember he got the start because, ineffectual play from, I believe it was Tomczak.
Touchdown Tommy.
Tommy Maddox.
Tommy Maddox, that's right. Sat him down, and then Ben didn't lose until he was eliminated from the playoffs.
Ben went 13-0, only 17 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. He was Offensive Rookie of the Year. But in terms of numbers, Cam Newton threw for 4,000 yards, but had 17 picks. No, numbers weren't as good as Stroud's, man.
Who went to the divisional round? Ben did.
Ben went to the AFC Championship.
Yeah. Hey, you can make the case. We can argue.
But CJ was
incredible.
But
we need to be done arguing because of two things. One, Chase Daniel is about to zoom in.
Nice.
And
nice.
Two, my batteries might run out. So let's take a break.
Not anymore, Rich.
No.
Until Tuvo.
Why? Did they run out?
No. Oh,
they're gone, aren't they?
Oh, that's right. You did it. You did actually put them
yes.
in. Yes. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls as well. Chase Daniel talking about everything we just discussed and more.
Oh. America starts the day with America in the Morning. Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather. Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
In New York, I'm Sue Aller.
I'm Charles Tillotesma.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
I'm Jennifer King.
I'm Clayton Neville.
I'm Kevin Carr.
I'm Archie Zaraletta.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
On the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast, co-host David Green and Rob Abasolo interview real estate investors and entrepreneurs about successes, failures, and hard-earned lessons. Joined by author Dave Meyer.
Who wrote a book?
I did write a book.
It seems like you're coming out with a book every 4 minutes.
You are one to talk. You've released 2 books this year. I've done half as many as you.
It is more about strategy than it is about just finding whatever the new buzzword happens to be.
Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Back up on the program, Chase Daniel's going to join us shortly. Radio audience returns in less than 2 minutes' time. I've got a fresh set of batteries, and I'm feeling great.
You hear everything all right?
I do. Thanks for asking.
Good.
I really appreciate
it. Think about it. Yeah.
Did you watch American Fiction or you didn't?
I did. I watched it last night.
Did you see it? You saw it?
I saw what you were talking about, yes. I understand. Yeah,
Jeffrey Wright's coming in tomorrow. I'm psyched.
He was great.
He is as good as they get.
That movie was multi-layered. There was a lot going on, yeah.
Sterling K. Brown,
like, is he auditioning for a Marvel superhero?
I know.
Jeez, my man got
He was rocked up. I know.
Rich, you remember that story I told you when Mark Sanchez was here about my birthday party and all the quarterbacks that came from the camp, and Sanchez was like...
Let me guess, Chase Daniel was one of them?
Chase Daniel was one of those quarterbacks, yeah. At the La Poupe,
La Poubelle?
Not La Poubelle. Why am I blanking on the name of the
restaurant? I don't know. You've been to so many clubs.
Geisha House. Yes, I'm sorry.
So many clubs. It's just unbelievable. Yeah. What is the hit rate on guests that TJ has come across and met? Seriously, what would it be? Half? Is it at least half?
No, I was going to say a quarter, like 30%.
20%, 25%.
Quarter to a third, probably?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, that time with the thing, with the guy.
So is it like a sharpshooting three-point artist? Type percentage?
Oh, goodness. Man. Good one.
Get me on the court and I'm trouble.
Caitlin Clark situation. What does she shoot from three? Probably in the 40s.
I mean, she's got better range than me, though, yeah. I think.
I don't know. I put your range up and with anybody.
Well, I'm no Steph Curry.
Dame from the logo.
Ooh, I'll take it, though.
Getting ready for the second half of the season, even though it's really just the last third.
We got Kelsey and Taylor Swift at the Sydney Zoo.
Hey.
Nice.
Fantastic.
I mean, literally nine news in this world. Sydney is posting pictures.
What is it happening in this world? Fantastic. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. A new colleague of mine at NFL Network after 14 National Football League seasons, courtesy of, I guess, Missouri football. Back on the Rich Eisen. Well, first time on the Rich Eisen Show. Maiden voyage for Chase Daniel. Good to see you, Chase.
First time, yeah. About. I'm glad you guys decided to finally have me on. You know, we're working together at NFL Network.
Are.
And yeah, I love what you guys have been doing over there. I listen to your show often, so I appreciate the invite, man.
I didn't know you joined until I pulled in the lot, and I'm like, who's this guy with the Missouri license plate frame sitting in my spot? What the hell?
You know, yeah, I'm sorry. The first day of the rookie, you know, it's my rookie year. I'm learning.
That's right. So next time you're there, just your car will be filled with popcorn, right, or something like that?
I'm sure it's what's even going to be there.
Seriously, what's the best trick you ever pulled on a rookie?
Chase. Oh, my gosh. Well, I don't think I pulled a trick on a rookie. I think that when I was a rookie myself,
okay.
I got tons of tricks pulled on me. And mainly because it was Drew Brees and Mark Brunell in the quarterback room. So I'm some 22-year-old punk, undrafted, just trying to make the team. And I got Mark Brunell and Drew Brees with me. And there's a lot that really I can't say on the show that they would do.
Really?
They were, yeah.
Because those are very fine, upstanding citizens, Chase. I mean, that you know, those guys aren't really going to be running to a foul of very much.
That's what people think. That's what people think. When they get in the quarterback room, that's a little bit different. But I was definitely their coffee guy and their donut guy. I mean, every single Friday rookie year at 6:30 a.m. sharp, I better have Krispy Kreme donuts on the quarterback's desk or I would be chastised forever. I mean, it was unreal. Mark Brunell drinking coffee. I mean, he'd have like six cups of coffee, jeez, three donuts. Drew would have a donut. Like it was a ritual. And so I think through my years of playing after the rookie year, I would be the guy that would be like, you got to bring Krispy Kreme donuts, jelly filled, powdered, every type of donut possible. So I think I was that guy for sure, because I learned from the best.
Way to pay it forward, Chase. Way to pay it forward. Yeah.
It's the only thing I can do.
All right, let's just jump into this quarterback draft class. Where do you rank it from what you have maybe seen personally in the league and what you might have been looking at in previous drafts from afar?
Yeah, I mean, it's a deep quarterback class, right? Obviously, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., in my opinion, are, you know, probably the deepest class overall from 1 to 5 that I've seen in quite some time. And it's all about potential, right? Like, it starts with Caleb Williams for me, everything that he's done. Obviously, people said, like, hey, he didn't have as good of a year last year as he did his sophomore year. But I think he had a pretty good year. I think that the offensive line for USC was just awful last year. And that's putting it nicely. So he was scrambling for his life a lot, making all these off kelter plays that we know and love. And I think the biggest thing that scouts like about him and what I like about him is that out of pocket movement, that he's able to create plays when it's not there for you. And that's something that, with this NFL game going to another level, like, you got to have a guy that can make plays off schedule, out of pocket. And I think, and I'm not saying this is going to translate to the NFL, but I do think, like, Caleb Williams has some Patrick Mahomes in him. I think he's a better prospect coming out of college than Patrick Mahomes was. And I think that's what got scouts excited, was that out of pocket escapability type thing. And we'll just see how it translates into the NFL. Like, I'm not sure. And then, you know, for QB2 for me, it's so difficult because I like Drake May or Jaden Daniels. And I've watched some Drake May. I just started watching Jaden Daniels. Mm-hmm. And the dude can flat out play. Like, he's exactly what I think an NFL offense needs in terms of his movement, getting out. Like, he just has such a smooth stroke, in my opinion. Like, when you watch it, just a pure thrower. Now, he's played a lot. He's played 5 years or six. He seems like he's been around forever. And I do think that the ceiling can still grow with him. And I think that's what scouts are excited about. I think he's a better athlete. He is the best athlete of all the quarterbacks out there, in my opinion. And then you go to Drake May, who, look, he's a redshirt sophomore. So he's only started 2 years, but he was captains both of those years. Prototypical size, not as strong as an arm as I thought when I first started diving in on him. But I do think that the dude can spin it with the best of them. And I do think, out of really Caleb, Jaden, and Drake, I do think he's the most pro ready. Like, I do think you can put him in an offense. He's the one that's been under center, other than J.J. McCarthy. I got to throw him in there too. The most, like, he's been under center quite a bit. And then Michael Penix Jr., I forgot about J.J. McCarthy, which
it's look, all right.
I'm looking, you know, at DJ's.
Let me just jump in real quick here, Chase. I'll just jump in because you've just said a lot, and I just want to pull on some of the strings of what you just said. So, you know, Caleb Williams, let's just go back to him for a sec.
Yeah.
So Caleb is not hiring an agent, it seems. And, you know, everything is a flag, or everything is flaggable, or everything is something that's part of an evaluation. That's the way it goes. And, you know, it's unfortunate, certainly in this day and age, where every single thing anybody says winds up on your phone and you see it and you believe it and what have you. But this is a fact. And so when you hear that, what do you think of?
Well, to me, when I hear of a prospect he's going to go number one overall, I think, if Chicago decides to pick, like, it's all slotted, right? So, like, well, what are you really doing for an agent? He's going to save 3% on it. I get that. I don't really think it's that big of a deal.
Okay.
Now, he probably has a lawyer or an attorney going to look over the contract, help him get it, and probably going big on the marketing firm, SC, NIL, all that stuff. So I don't necessarily know if you need to just give away 3% of your salary. Look, I am pro agent. Like, I had one of the best agents of all time being able to get me some of these contracts that that I was able to get, Jeff Nally, he was Select Sports Group. Now they're with CAA under the CAA umbrella.
Right.
And I've always fought for agents. I was a voting rep for the NFLPA for 10 years. And I was always pro agent, but, and in this point, I don't see a red flag with that necessarily.
No,
I mean, like some people do. It's just, you know, you're going to save 3% on your first contract.
But what if he wants to go to Washington, right, Chase? What if he sits there and what if he sits there and he vibes with, you know, the Giants, right?
Yeah.
I mean, well, how do you then try to affect that? And obviously it doesn't matter if the Bears are the ones that are into you, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, don't you think you need that? That's all I'm saying, is because he is going to be first overall. He should be first overall. He is the eye test. You threw the name Mahomes out there. That's been out there for a while, because you just take a look at him and the way he plays is exactly like that. And clearly this is the world you live in the NFL. I'm just wondering about that aspect of an evaluation.
Yeah, I mean, look, four of the first six teams picking need quarterbacks, like, badly. Like, you could see a run on four quarterbacks in the first six picks, and that includes the Giants at six. And so if that to happen, I think, in my opinion, they have enough people around him that can help him with that. Like, I really just, at the end of the day, if you want Caleb Williams, you better figure out a way to trade up to one. And that's my opinion. So I don't know if it matters as much as some people think. You know, I've always, like I said, loved agents, but at the end of the day, he's got to do what's best for him. And maybe he's following Lamar Jackson's footsteps, right? Like handled a really big contract essentially with himself. I do think, though, coming into the NFL, in my opinion, I would hire an agent. If I was Caleb Williams, I would absolutely hire an agent. They can only help you. And by the way, like, a lot of guys don't understand this 3% rate, it's negotiable.
Yeah.
Like, I know people that are paying 1%, 2%, 3%. So I'm thinking that it's probably having to do with saving some money, in this opinion, because in my opinion, an agent can only help you. You know what I'm saying? It can't hurt you at this point.
Chase Daniel here from NFL Network and the Chasing It podcast right here on the Rich Eisen Show. And now you said May is pro ready, but Jaden Daniels just jumps off the screen at his abilities. So when you're the Commanders, let's just assume that the Bears pick Caleb, knowing the guys who are there, Cliff Kingsbury is bringing his offense in. Which one do you think they lean towards?
I mean, I think they probably lead toward Jaden Daniels, because you saw Cliff when he got hired. He's like, you got to have a guy that can move and can run with the best of them and escape the pocket in this day and age of the NFL. And especially you look at what Kyler Murray did with Cliff Kingsbury, and that's the type of offense he runs. He runs the run and shoot. He runs the Patrick Mahomes style offense, obviously, when he was at Texas Tech coaching them. And so I do think that this guy right here, Jaden Daniels, I think he's got an ability to be really special, Rich, and it's really cool to watch. And I haven't watched a ton of tape, but I was there in person when he came back and led that comeback victory against Missouri at Missouri, and the dude threw for like 400 some odd yards. I'm like, who is this kid? This is the first time I've really heard of him. And I was there in person on homecoming. I'm like, what are you doing? No, because we're winning, and if we win that game, we're probably in the college football playoff. Mm. If I'm being honest with you. And so that was my first time looking at him. I went back, watched some film on him, and he just possesses this trait. I mean, look, he's very comfortable outside of the pocket. I think he needs to get better within the pocket. He doesn't get off his first read as fast as I'd like, but I think everyone is reaching for this potential, right? And I think his potential could possibly be on like a Caleb Williams type level if he enters the right offense with the right coaches.
Chase Daniel here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, so let's talk about the two national championship game quarterbacks in J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah.
Which team do you think top 10? Okay. So top 10, Bears, Commanders, Patriots. We could throw the Cardinals and your former final team, the Chargers, out because they've got their guys.
Yeah.
Giants, Titans, Falcons, and you could throw the Jets out too, unless you want to throw them in there. I think they need to protect Rodgers. Which one top 10 you think should take one of these kids? That might be.
Well, look, everyone's thinking that Tennessee's not going to take a quarterback. They're happy with their guy they have currently. But I wouldn't throw them out, you know, and I think you didn't say that either. They need help at the offensive line. But my opinion, it goes to Atlanta. Atlanta's a wild card. They're at 8. Do they want to move up to the top 3, which potentially the top 3 quarterbacks could get taken? Are they okay with staying back at 8? And I think J.J. McCarthy makes a lot of sense for them. They have some really good weapons, obviously Drake London, Kyle Pitts. The list goes on. And I think they're a quarterback away from being, you know, making some noise in the NFC South, because really at this NFC South, you just got to get to 500 to win.
Right.
And I think this would be a good spot for them. I would put J.J. McCarthy there probably before Michael Penix Jr.
Okay. And so what's your opinion of Justin Fields, Chase? Because obviously he's in play for any of these teams that might raise their hand and say, well, you know, we're not going to draft one. We'll just flip a day 2 pick. I'm assuming that's what it would be.
Yeah.
For Fields, or a couple of day 3 picks for Fields, and go to work and evaluate and pick up a 5th-year option and deal with the next 2 years that way. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I personally love Justin Fields. Like, I do a breakdown show on my YouTube page, and it's just breaking down quarterbacks and going through the all 22 and showing. And I just think the growth that he has shown from 2 years ago to now, in an offense that really wasn't running his style of an offense until the last part of this year, I think he balled out. I think that everyone around him got better. I think that he's going to have a huge trade market, because he is one of the top 20, 22 guys in the NFL. He could go to Atlanta. The Patriots could sneak in. I know Russell Wilson, the Pittsburgh rumors, like Pittsburgh could jump in there. Or in my opinion, I think he'd fit really well with the Raiders. Go back to Luke Getsy, go back to where you did. Cause I think Luke really built the offense around him finally, once he found out his skill set. And so I think you put Justin Fields in elevate.
Well, I mean, I laugh because I don't know. When you think, didn't he say Getsy's scheme made him robotic? Didn't that happen?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, it did. And I think that if you watch the first five games of this past season, he was robotic. They're running an under center play action style offense that doesn't fit Justin Fields whatsoever. Justin got that 2-game stretch where he threw 8 touchdowns, got hurt, came back, played really well, and the offense completely changed. He finally started running a style of offense, like a Jalen Hurts style of offense, that really fits him. So you got to look at all the pieces. I mean, all of it makes sense. I would love for the Vegas Raiders to be in it. I mean, Atlanta. I mean, you look at that. That's in my opinion. You got to look at this draft. I still think there's a possibility that the Bears could trade back and get a haul and keep Justin Fields. Or maybe you pick Caleb Williams, let him sit. And there's so many different scenarios that could happen with Justin Fields. All I know is Justin Fields will be starting for one of these teams come next September.
Yeah, I mean, if the Bears take Caleb, there's no way they sit him, to be straight up with you.
Yeah.
But I understand. Yep. I understand that you're throwing a whole bunch of stuff out there that could happen. I mean, trading down, get a haul, and then add Marvin Harrison Jr. to the mix with DJ Moore for Justin Fields and keep on building that way. And then you got the 9th overall pick in your back pocket still to add maybe on defense or the line. I mean, there's so many ways to go, but you are of the mindset that Caleb Williams is the unicorn of the draft, Chase?
Yeah, I mean, I do think so. Okay. I think that just on the past like 2 years alone and what he's been able to do, I do think he is the unicorn, as you said. I like that term. And look, people want to say he had a bad year last year. He threw 30 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions. 3 of those interceptions came against Notre Dame. Like, the dude didn't turn the ball over. Now, I think he needs to be better within the pocket. I think he needs to be better, like, trusting his reads. And I do think that you can't just be in shotgun all the time. This dude was in shotgun almost every single snap. That's a big deal. That's not being talked enough about with a lot of these. Because I remember when I first got in, I was in shotgun every single snap of my Missouri career. And it took me a year and a half, 2 years to get used to a 5-step drop under center or an under center exchange or play action under center. All this stuff needs to work through it. And I'm sure he's working on it right now with his trainers getting ready for the draft.
Last one for you, Chase. You obviously know Justin Herbert pretty well. So how do you think, I think he's going to work well with Harbaugh. So let me ask you this question. Yeah. Why has it been a struggle for Herbert to just light it up, throw deep, you know, slice up a defense vertically? It just seems at times it was just a struggle for somebody who seems to roll out of bed with such an uncanny ability to have a big arm, and it just never really materialized, Chase.
Yeah, and I think you look at it a couple ways. Like, I think that Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are amazing receivers. None of those guys are deep play threats, right? His really deep play threat was Jalen Guyton the last 2 years. So you go out, you draft Quentin Johnson, you're going to probably draft, I mean, I'd love to see them pick a receiver at 5. I mean, Malik Nabers, when I'm watching this this film of Jaden Daniels, he completely sets himself apart, in my opinion, as receiver 2 behind Marvin Harrison Jr. But you go back and you look at it, and like, he's been hurt the past 2 years. Like huge rib injury in my last year there, which was 22.
Yep.
And then that, I mean, as you know, you've covered the game long enough, like, anything with ribs on a rotational athlete as a thrower, like, it's going to mess you up, man. It really is. It hurts to even do it. And he was probably hurt a lot more than, you know, he let on, and some people let on. And then last year, the 2 finger injuries, I mean, even though it's on your offhand, you fracture your finger and then you hurt your other throwing finger and you have surgery. Like, I was just texting him. He's like, I'm finally able to play golf, 'cause I got both my hands back. Like, awesome. So I do think he's rejuvenated. I do think that, it's going to be interesting to see what the Chargers do next year, in terms of they have so many veteran guys with huge cap numbers. It could be a whole fire sale, start over, but you still got Rashawn Slater. You still got Justin Herbert. And I think this year is going to be a good year for him.
Yeah. And listen, you know, I'm a Michigan guy, so I'm quite biased when it comes to Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Which means they could go line. They could just start mauling, let, you know, throwing the fullback out there. Because that's what Jim does, and start mashing, and then Herbert can slice you up that way. Man, I can't
that
wait
under
for
under center
it.
Play action stuff could happen.
Chase, love to get you here in studio whenever you're in the area, and I appreciate look forward to seeing you in the parking lot and around the building whenever I can.
All right, I'll make sure to not take your spot again.
Please,
man.
Chase, that's just a one off. Okay.
Okay.
The rest of it now it's on.
Like, we're on the same page.
Okay. Thank you, Chase. Greatly appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
That's Chase Daniel at Chase_Daniel on Instagram, right here on the show. Just in case you're wondering, Daniel Jeremiah, his mock draft, he has the Chargers choosing Joe Alt, the tackle out of Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. And perhaps part of the reason for that is he believes Malik Nabers will be taken off the board just one pick in front of the Chargers, by the Cardinals, after you take Marvin Harrison Jr. off the board, third overall. Whew, I know. It gets exciting. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls. Hour number 2, Shams Charania will help us tip off the second half of the NBA season before Terry Bradshaw zooms in on this busy Thursday.
Hi there. Sorry for the interruption, but are you enjoying this show on Google Podcasts? You should know that the Google Podcasts app is going away this spring. That's right, going away, gone as in no longer available. You can still enjoy this show elsewhere, though. Try out Spotify or Amazon Music, or maybe TuneIn is more your style. Whatever app you switch to, be sure to follow so you never miss the next episode. And thanks for listening, wherever you listen.
Very rare that I begin an interview with somebody asking who's your real estate agent, but Coach, who's your real estate agent?
Lisa Roberts. She does a great job. Anybody in Scottsdale needs a spot.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Free plug.
Oh, this is, yeah, man. I mean, this is this is the spot. This is, you got a guest room?
Apparently, yeah, there's a couple. You're always welcome, man.
I appreciate that. The question I have for you is the fire in the background.
That was extra. Yeah, that was extra.
Now, did you does it light up when you draft Isaiah Simmons? Or I mean, like, yeah. Is that what
Yeah, the whole house lit up when we got that pick. We were fired up.
I bet. Like, you're like, fire up the coals. Fire up, you know, that probably had to happen. Who took this photo? People want to know.
Yeah, we had one of, you know, you were allowed to have one IT guy there at your house. So it was one of our IT guys that took it.
And he stayed in the cabana, the IT guy?
He did not stay at the house.
And did he light the fire or did you light the fire? We're all fascinated. This is fascinating to everybody.
It is fascinating, isn't it? Yeah, I lit the fire.
Okay. Go ahead, Chris. Go ahead and ask.
And Cliff, did you get in the pool at any point?
I did not get in the pool. That's maybe next year.
What's the one, I guess, comparison you've heard about the photographs before, I guess, we give one? What it looks like to people. What have you heard the most?
The funniest one I saw was, like, it was a picture, and then they had the Brazzers logo. Like,
oh, gosh.
You know, like, that was actually, like, really well done.
I was going to go cologne. You know, it
Bond villain.
You know, Bond.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that interview. Back on the Rich Eisen Show. Get the Game Time Tickets app on any mobile device near you and start buying tickets to any event pretty much near you. Theater, comedy, music, sports, Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets, and not just right here, right now, to get a view from your seat with all-in pricing, but you can also get last-minute tickets right up to the start of the event, or sometimes even an hour after the event starts. It is the place to find last-minute seats. Certainly, if you maybe want to get something for tonight or this weekend, something in your area, it is so easy to use. I love using it. You can buy tickets in just two taps, and you take the guesswork straight out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the app, create an account, use our code RICH, you get $20 off your first purchase. Now, terms do apply. So again, create an account, redeem your code RICH, $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. All right, let's take the express to Santa Barbara, California. Lee is back on the program. How are you, Lee?
Hey, guys. Oh my God, I miss you guys.
We miss you too.
Awesome, Lee.
I haven't been able to call in.
How's the TJ strain doing? How's the TJ strain treating?
Hey, TJ, I need you to call me. You called me one time and I missed your call. I have so much to talk to you about.
Oh, we making money?
Not yet, but just call me later.
Well, I bet. This
is important.
Not yet.
You know what I mean?
Not
I
for air.
Yeah. I got you.
Well, not for broadcast air.
Yeah, true.
I just want to say hi to Brockman. Hi to Dolph.
What up, brother?
Hey.
What's up, Lee? What's on your mind?
Good to see you, man.
What's on your mind?
Well, so I've been hearing this rumor that Mike Evans might go to the Chiefs. Have you heard that?
I mean, it's one of those, like, hey, no-brainer. One would think that Mike Evans would make the Chiefs instantly better. Guess what? He'd make every team he joins instantly better. And, hey, you know, that the Chiefs need someone like him as well. But Mike Evans wants to hit it, you know, and the Chiefs have to make sure – thanks for the call, Lee. You call the TJ contact Lee.
Yeah,
will you please
give him a call?
Listen,
chop it up.
The Chiefs have to pay Chris Jones, and they got to pay L'Jarius Sneed, and they got their own guys they got to pay. So for them to basically go out and say, "Let's bring in Mike Evans and pay him," I don't know how that would fly, especially since. It was great. Eric Stonestreet went right at Michael Irvin when he came on our show on the Super Bowl program about 2 hours before kickoff. And he'd been waiting to get in front of Irv. Because every single time Irv would say this, I would get a text from Eric. Because God bless him, he likes watching NFL Game Day morning because he's smart. And so he would always text me when Irv keeps bringing up how the offense misses Tyreek Hill. And how the big play Chiefs offense misses Tyreek Hill. And it's not the same without Tyreek Hill. And you know what? Yeah. They miss Tyreek Hill, you know, if the way you want to win football games is take the top of the defense off, and who wouldn't, and quick strike it and score, you know, in a minute and a half, which, you know, people want to do, but maybe you don't. If you need to pay a bunch of people on defense. And since they traded Tyreek Hill, they won the Super Bowl in back-to-back years. They won the Super Bowl with Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, catching touchdowns on the corn dog play. And Juju Smith-Schuster making a move on James Bradbury that drew a flag and essentially wrapped things up in that Super Bowl. And this one, Mecole Hardman came back and scored the game-winning touchdown. And Marquez Valdes-Scantling was wide open to flip the script after the awful turn of events for the 49ers with that punt that hit a couple of their players. One in the foot and the other one in the hands. They try to scoop it up and run with it. Why would they go for Mike Evans is the question. Why would they even think of twitching in the direction of Mike Evans?
A game of what ifs. They're two plays away from not having the two Super Bowl wins the last 2 years.
Well, we
and
do
Mahomes'
that
air yards is the lowest of his career.
And Mike Evans is really good at
and
football.
And Mike Evans is going to the Hall of Fame.
But if you've got to pay, listen, you want to run it back for the Chiefs and go back to back to back, you pay Chris Jones and you pay L'Jarius Sneed, and you need both of them.
Yeah.
Period. Sure. End of story. That's what you address first. And then I'd address the tackles. And then you start thinking about weapons for Mahomes. And by the way, the best weapon for Mahomes was the one they drafted, who showed up when Mahomes was throwing, right, at TCU. Oh, Rashee Rice is just going to go warm up with some guys who are in town. Oh, and that's Mahomes throwing. Let me just sneak in line and start catching passes. And suddenly he gets drafted. He winds up setting the rookie receptions record for a playoffs.
First impressions.
So do it again.
Yeah, but Rich, wouldn't you want to make it a little bit easier on them so you don't have that stretch where there's guys constantly dropping balls?
But it's not easier on them if people are in the locker room saying, oh, so I'm not going to get paid. We just went back to back. I'm not going to get paid what I get paid because you want Mike Evans, who did what for us? Beat us in the Super Bowl. No, thank you. Like, that could be a problem more than the problem of Mahomes trying to figure it out because he figured it out. The flip switch hit. That's why I don't think it's going to happen. Interesting thought, though.
I'll take Mike in Dallas, just for the record.
Hey, now, that's a different story.
If he wants to come.
But they also have to pay people there, too. Oh, yeah. And Dak's got to give money back or rearrange.
Yeah.
To make that so.
Do a little bit of an Otani deal, is what you're saying.
I would, let's do this. You can have Evans or Derrick Henry. Who do you take? Because you can't have both.
Ooh.
Even though you're going all in.
You got to be able to control the clock, and that means running the football. So,
no, you take Mike Evans.
I'd say
you take
Henry.
Mike Evans?
Yeah.
But you got CeeDee Lamb already.
You got CeeDee Lamb.
Great. We have two CeeDee Lambs. One name's Mike Evans.
We had Dak Prescott throwing the ball 60 times in the playoff game. That is way too much. We got to be able to run the rock.
I'd take Derrick Henry. That's
if
what I would
saying
do.
Saying you can only have one of the two.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Because our running game was not it last
30.
Year. He is. That's true.
Great. But Mike Evans is Benjamin Button? Hey, I this is obviously two guys who I believe I will be sitting in Canton one day and watching them get jackets slipped on them.
Absolutely.
From my MC dais.
That's
if I'm still invited back after this coming summer, because it's going
to
get ugly.
Ohio might not let you. They
and
might
by the way,
you, bro.
A little preview of that act is going to come up over 4 days of a combine with 18 Wolverines at it. Shams Charania coming up.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
And here's Lil Yachty with Tierra Whack.
I've never been to a fashion show. I never did any Paris Fashion Week, New York Fashion Week, and I'll tell you why. Because I would always go to events and people would say to me, oh man, Yachty, man, I love your music, bro. And she'd be like, what song? At the time, I didn't love my music. I would feel like I'm in a room with all these artists and they all respect each other. And I feel like no one respects me.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.